KTOO Public Media would like to acknowledge the Tlane Di and the Woosh Kitan of the Ak-Kwan. We are on their ancestral homeland. Our broadcast studios are built on fill that was once tideland and part of what is called the Indian Village. We recognize those families who regarded the tidelands as a source of food and part of their home and who have never relinquished their property rights and hunting and fishing rights, nor their ownership and stewardship of their land and waterway. The families of the Juneau Indian Village, like their ancestors, cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to the waterfront. KTOO is working to lift up Tlingit voices through the sharing of stories like these and the broadcast of the Tlingit language. Please excuse us for our mistakes and gunachish for your patience as we learn.
Hansen Gress, ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakhaya ha ani kakh gunish cheesh.
You're tuned in to Juneau Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my first guest today is our Evening at Egan speaker, Tanya Lewis. Hello, Tanya.
Hello, how are you?
Well, thanks. And yourself?
I am doing just fine on this rainy day.
Mm. You represent Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve. What kind of things do you do there?
Well, I am the terrestrial wildlife biologist, and so all critters terrestrial. We do a lot of bear research. Mountain goats, nesting seabirds, a lot of studies looking at the impacts of human visitors, especially on the shoreline, on the wildlife, and lots of fun stuff like that.
And what was this last year like out there?
Well, it was very quiet. And it was pretty cool because we took the opportunity to do a couple studies to look at how one, looking at wildlife activity in the absence of people or with very, very low visitor numbers on, you know, on the beach. There were no cruise ships, no tour boats, a couple charter boats, and then it was just, you know, independent travelers, either kayakers or motorboaters. So we had some cameras up documenting wildlife activity that we can compare to a couple of years ago when it was normal visitation and see if there was a difference in wildlife activity in some areas that get hit pretty hard with people on a usual summer. And we did a similar project looking at soundscape and documenting, you know, the lack of human sounds and basically getting a baseline of the ambient sounds without all the vessel traffic.
Wow. What... Well done on taking advantage of that opportunity to do some new research or to pivot your research focus in response to the events this year.
Yeah, it was exciting. It was, you know, a bit of a silver lining as far as, you know, just all the downsides of the pandemic and the fact that a lot of people couldn't make it to Glacier Bay this year. We also did a lot of online stuff, a lot of videos, like I would take a little video camera out in the field with me and just do it. We put together a little video so people could see it remotely and a lot of more virtual visitation stuff.
Well, maybe next year or next time you present at Evening at Egan, you'll be talking about a new project. But tonight, your talk is titled Unraveling the Mystery of the Glacier Bear. For those who may not know, what exactly is a glacier bear?
Yeah, good question. A glacier bear is a rare color of black bear. And they're really only found in northern southeast Alaska and a little bit, there's been some sightings in the southern Yukon and along the Tachinchini River in BC, but really localized to this general area. And yeah, what I'm going to talk about tonight is the result of 12 or 15 years of work on just trying to start to figure out what these animals are. Why are they basically gray, silver? Some are sometimes white, but more often they're gray or silvery. They're also known as blue bears because they can be sort of so silver that they look blue. Very beautiful animals, very rare. And we've just been beginning to figure out, you know, what they are. And, you know, the ultimate goal is to find out, you know, how many there are and how long they'll be around for.
Have you ever spotted one?
Yeah, I have spotted a few. Very early on when I started working for the park in 1999, I helped out with the humpback whale monitoring program, and I was out on a whale survey, and the whale biologist and I saw a couple glacier bears, and I can't remember exactly how many. It was a family group, and I don't remember. I don't think we have any pictures or anything, but that was the first time I learned about them. They looked like very gray bears, which was unusual. And then my most memorable sighting was a couple years ago. I was on a boat and we saw a black bear on the beach, which is very common. And we just started, you know, watching her with the binoculars. And all of a sudden there was two little gray rocks next to her that were moving. And those were her cubs. And they just blended in so well with the rocks in the intertidal zone. It was pretty amazing. And she really stuck out being black amongst the gray rocks. But these little fuzz balls were just the same colors of the rocks. And they were just gorgeous.
You mentioned that one of the research questions is how long they'll be here. Why would they not be around forever?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm going to talk a lot about that tonight. And it wasn't specifically one of our questions that we've answered so far. You know, we are just beginning to unravel the mystery of these animals. So some of the first steps before even getting to, you know, how many there are or how long, you know, these animals will be around, you know, just has to do with what populations are they a part of? You know, where are they was one of the first questions we looked at was what's the range of this rare color phase and which populations of black bears have glacier bears in them? And so those are the main things that we've looked at so far, along with little bits of sort of little hints of information here and there that we've gathered. But that was kind of the first phase of the study. And then eventually what we'd really like to determine is what's the genetic basis for the color and how prevalent is it in these different populations that where glacier bears are present. And so that takes like a lot more in-depth genetics work that is currently underway that I'll talk about more. And the question about how long they'll be around really has to do with, is there an association with these animals with their white and gray coats and potential camouflage that gives them an advantage in a glacial environment that indicates that they are somewhat maybe dependent on glacier environments? And if that's the case, what's the outlook as glaciers retreat in northern Southeast Alaska?
Ah, I see. So you mentioned this ongoing research project, a collaborative project. You're studying the DNA of the regional black bears to learn more about glacier bears. What was it that initially got you interested in this topic? Was it the first time you saw a glacier bear?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's pretty much how I framed this talk tonight, is a story about how this came to be, this work. And for myself, when I was hired in 2006 for the park to write the park's first bear management plan, and I inherited this map. It's still on my office today, and it's just a map of Glacier Bay, and then there's even like this add-on that goes up to Yakutat, and it's got all these little dots just stuck on it, and they are glacier bear sightings and harvests from hunters, and it's this compilation of different locations of these animals, and it was put together by a woman named Linda Wiggins, who is married to Canadian bear safety expert Steve Herrero in Canada. And they, she came here, she learned about glacier bears, and she realized that there was nothing known about them. So she came to Juneau, Glacier Bay, and Yakutat, and she just started putting together observations, you know, talking to people, digging in records, and made this map. And she had done that in about 1995, and it sat at the park for like 10 years. And then all of a sudden it ended up in my office, and I was like, whoa, I got to do something with this. And interestingly, about the same time, Neil Barton was a fish and game biologist over in Juneau. And there was just this weird kind of explosion of glacier bears over there that were getting into garbage and getting in trouble, getting hit by cars. And so he ended up relocating some of those animals and just had the wherewithal to start collecting DNA or tissue samples of these animals, realizing that there was something very genetically unique about them. So Neil and I ended up at a conference in Canmore, BC, and Linda Wiggins was there, and the three of us got together and said, we really need to figure out something about these animals because they're so rare. We know they're hunted. And if there is an association with glaciers, if they're dependent on a glacial environment, then, you know, we really would like to know more about, you know, sort of the conservation risk of these animals. And if, you know, if there's anything that we can do to protect them.
And because they are so rare, do they carry any sort of protected status from harvest?
Not overall. You know, luckily a lot of their range is Glacier Bay National Park, which there's no hunting allowed. Mm. There are some regulations to protect certain colored animals in, I believe up in Skagway and Haines, but you know, I'm not an expert on the regulations at this point, but in general, most areas glacier bears are available for hunting. It is pretty rare. There's about 1 to 4 glacier bears taken up in the Yakutat area every year, and maybe one in the Juneau to Skagway area every other year. So there's not a lot of animals, not a lot of glacier bears hunted.
Do you have any definitive findings from your research project to share tonight with your audience?
Well, like I said, you know, we're beginning to unravel the mystery. It's not by any means a done deal, but I do plan on sharing our findings as far as which populations of black bears. Well, first of all, how many populations of black bears there are in this area was a new finding. And then and we found 10 populations, and 4 of those populations have glacier bears in them. And but they're not geographically continuous. So that was kind of the biggest mystery yet is, you know, you would think that generally bears that are populations of bears that are near each other are going to be closer genetically. But we basically have these 4 different populations that are genetically distinct and have glacier bears with populations of black bears in between that don't have glacier bears. So this is the mystery, and I will share tonight what we think that means. But of course, as with most science, it leads to even more questions.
Did you know that you have a pretty cool job?
Thank you. Yes, I did. And part of my talk tonight, especially because it's at UAS and I graduated my undergraduate from UAS in 1999. And I do talk about how I got to be in this position. You know, it wasn't a linear path at all. So for all those students out there, hopefully my story can be a little bit encouraging, especially for students that maybe don't feel like the traditional learner. I definitely feel like I lucked out.
The talk tonight, which is part of the Evening at Egan Lecture Series, is at 7 p.m. via Zoom. No charge, but you can register uas.alaska.edu/EganLecture. Tanya Lewis, it sounds like it's going to be a fascinating topic, a great presentation. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners before we say goodbye today?
Nope, just stay safe and happy Halloween.
Maybe somebody's got a good glacier bear costume they can share.
That'd be great.
Thanks so much, Tanya. It was lovely to speak with you. Have a great talk tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you.